So we're here today taking the pulse of Rusty Borif. Rusty is he is the CEO of the 180 Zone here, based out of Davenport. And we have recently gotten to know Rusty just over the past couple of weeks, and we've kind of teamed up and developed a partnership here, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But before we do, Rusty, can you give us a little bit of an overview of what the 180 Zone is and what they do?
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Glad to be here. And so the 180 Zone is a nonprofit organization. And our goal is three things: prevent, reach, and develop. And so those are the three areas that we focus on. Prevent is working with kids who are in at-risk areas, high poverty, low income, and our goal is simply to come alongside of them and partner with them and just do life with them and give some help, supply some opportunities that maybe they don't have otherwise. Our reach is where we're simply reaching out into the community, whether it be someone in a jail or prison cell, someone who's homeless, that widow who can't clean her gutters, mm-hmm. and just come alongside her and do some service projects and build relationships through there. And then our develop has a few components, but that's where like our residential facilities come into play. And we call those incubators for life change. We just create a safe environment for people who are maybe coming out of jail, prison, homelessness, addictions, some form of domestic or sexual abuse, and we just create a safe environment for them to change their life. So it's a very structured program. And then we have Eastgate Industries, which is the business side of what we do, where we encourage entrepreneurship and teach our residents things like applications and resumes, mock interviews, and do everything that we can on that end.
And so, give them the skills to go out there and achieve,
yep.
which maybe they didn't have those before.
Exactly.
And those three different things, first of all, the programs, the more I learn about it, the more amazing it really seems.
Thank you.
but how did this come about? Because I know this is really kind of your brainchild from the beginning, and now you've got a board of directors, basically, and you guys are doing a lot of great things, and you know, we're here today because of some of the things that you guys are doing,
yeah.
truly.
Well, thank you. We started about 5 years ago. My life story was along those lines of one of our residents. I was homeless for quite a while, ended up in many forms of addiction and eventually incarceration, and I would spend a year of my life in jail. And when I was in that jail cell, I was in with federal inmates, guys who were doing life in prison. And I realized that many of them didn't have the great family that I had. Mm-hmm. and the great friends that I had, and so I was very blessed that way. And so we really just wanted to provide some of those resources that I had that they didn't have.
Right.
And so when I got out of jail after my year, me and two of my buddies saved $500 and went and bought a trailer in Milan and started housing guys that were coming out of jail. And we had no clue what we were doing, made lots of mistakes, and learned from those mistakes and eventually grew it to where it is today. But we have an amazing board of directors, a lot of churches that are involved. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the backbone of what we do. Rely on a lot of different volunteers in all three of those places, prevent, reach, and develop. And our focus is to look at the community from a holistic standpoint. So we can't, you know, just deal with people who are already in addictions or down the wrong road. Because if we just do that, then, you know, we're always going to – my hope is someday we don't have to have our residential facilities because we did everything on the prevent side and working with those students before they enter that lifestyle.
Well, and that's something that, you know, you've grown now. How many volunteers do you have that are under the umbrella of the 180 Zone?
We use about 200 to 250 volunteers a month.
So you've grown from a trailer and $500 to now 250 volunteers that are on board and helping push this initiative forward.
Yep.
That's just an amazing story.
Yeah.
Really, the three different components that you were talking about, we fit into the prevent.
Yes, correct.
And that is where we've been working with Ken Springer and the West End Initiative, mm-hmm. and more specifically, Monroe Elementary.
Yep.
So we're trying to start a Tiger Cub pack down there, and we are getting very, very close to that happening.
Yeah.
Actually, today I'm going to be going down there again to talk to some more boys to see if they're interested. So the whole prevent side of things, this is something that not only the 180 Zone is talking about, but all the schools are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a huge deal. Get them before, it's not an aftercare kind of deal. It is, we want to make sure they're getting the resources that they need before anything takes a hold of them. You talked about the addiction. You talked about the bad roads that, you know, they might go down. this whole prevention is extremely important. And I'm really proud that we found you. You know, and I think it was Andy's Rotary. You came and spoke.
Yep.
And he said, we really need to talk to Rusty and see what we can do. Because the West End, as far as scouting goes, it hasn't been really given the attention that it truly needs. Mm-hmm. And now I think we're getting to that point.
Yeah.
So I thank you for allowing us to team up with you. Yeah. Great cause. I think that we're going in the right direction there. Everything's really positive. But we have some definite – there's a future there.
Yeah.
And I think that our partnership is something that can last for a long time. Yeah. Sustainability is really something that we want to try to focus on.
And we're excited about it because that's what the kids need, too, is that, you know, they need consistency in their life. And I've been meeting with the superintendent and the school board of Davenport Schools, and they have two top things that they're focusing on the next 5 years. And the number one thing is how to reduce the effect of poverty with these students, because that's the number one challenge that they have right now.
Right.
And so as an organization, we're just trying to close that gap. And I did graduate from an alternative school with my GED, but I'm not dumb. So I know that the best way to do that is not to just reinvent the wheel.
You know, it's
to partner with places like, you know, Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts,
right,
and to partner with them. And, you know, just like we started with three guys in a trailer, you know, we're going to start small in Monroe School.
That's right.
Because there definitely are challenges in that neighborhood, in that area, and working with those kids. But I think it's going to be a great partnership.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, then, you know, and the school and the administration there is wonderful.
Yeah.
TJ and Megan there, fantastic. And they've really allowed us to come in and do what we need to do to reach out to those boys. And I'm really encouraged by what's going on. Yeah. So
now, what's one of the things I like about Monroe School right now is that you guys have started a food pantry.
Yes.
There, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And that's something that, you know, I hate that there's a need for it, you know, but I'm glad we can do it. But food is a big thing down there, you know, and not just food, but proper food. You know, TJ, the principal, will tell you that over half his kids will go home on the weekend and not get an actual meal. That's over 250 kids in West Davenport that are going home. And this is a principal who, you know, he's not just throwing numbers out there. He knows these kids, every kid by name. So what we did was partner with Riverbend Food Bank and put in the first Quad City food pantry within a school, which is a big deal, and serving these families and building – not just serving them, but also building relationships with them, you know, finding out what is their family dynamic. You know, one of TJ's biggest issues right now is a lice epidemic, you know, and that's how he describes it, you know, where his entire school has lice. So have fun down there when you go down there. But
now Ian's entire school has lice.
So
patient zero.
Everybody.
So there's a lot of challenges within this school, you know, and as an organization, we're just trying to figure out how we can serve the school. And partner with them. And even as an organization, a lot of the stuff that we do, instead of renting buildings around the school, we're just moving everything inside of the school and getting those kids there as much as possible. And that includes our partnership with you guys.
Yeah. And so, I know we're talking to Ken, and I know every Saturday morning you guys put on a program for these kids and families to come in and get that hot meal that they might miss otherwise. They also get, you know, they're playing games, they're singing songs, they get a little bit of a program, a little bit of devotion, I believe, is part of the program. It's just, it's something that you guys have gone above and beyond. It doesn't, you guys don't have to do that, but you are, and it's really making a difference.
Yep.
So
There's a lot of different things that we do. You know, the Saturdays, whether it be the food and the devotion time, and Sundays, we also now serve a hot meal to the families, have about 80 people that come down for that on Sundays. And it's not just with the families and the kids either. You know, it's, we just landscaped the school down there, which was an awesome project.
I heard about that.
Did teacher appreciation, you know, and just encouraging the staff there, that because what they're on the front lines, you know.
Right.
And
they have lice.
Yeah, exactly. they are at risk, you know. And so just partnering with them, and so
good deal. Good deal. Well, we've got three questions that we ask all of the people that we interview.
Yeah.
And the first question...
Oh, wait, really quick. Really. Okay. So now, 5 years ago, you guys were working out of a trailer in Mellon. Where do you see yourself at 5 years from now?
That is a good question. That's not one of the three questions?
Sorry. Okay. There's four questions
four
for
questions,
you.
Yeah. So I think as an organization, we still have some things that we want to do right here in the Quad City area. In our meetings with the superintendent just yesterday, he asked us if we would use what we're doing at Monroe School as the model for about five or six other schools here in Davenport. And so we started that process, and I think that'll come to formalize, you know, here in the next 6 months to a year, and duplicating what we're doing at other schools, and hopefully that includes you know, working with you guys as well, and even this the pantry here in 2 months we open the second pantry you know within a school, so there's a lot of work to do here. In 5 years, one of our goals, and probably one of the top three questions that I field, is can you do what you're doing in our city? And so I think the best answer to that question is yes, you know. And I think in the next 3 to 5 years we'll be moving what we do and duplicating it in other cities, hopefully here locally. You know, we've been working with local communities like Monmouth, Rockford, Rock Falls, Aledo area, in developing what we're doing within those cities.
So we're looking at the 180 industries.
Yeah.
Not so much, you know, the zone anymore.
I'm waiting for like Arizona or San Diego, you know, and that's probably where I'll make my move. And
someplace warm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, think of it where, you know, you're starting out of a trailer in Milan, Illinois, and now it's become like something that's in demand.
Right.
Like, people are seeing the effect that it's having.
You're the model.
On their community.
I mean, really, the 180 zone is the model that people are looking to.
In the waves that this is causing. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's truly benefiting the community.
And everything we do is, and I think that's one of the reasons why we're successful. Number one, because of God, but two, because it's relationally, you know, built.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a program. You know, we don't just feed kids or something
right,
like that.
Right.
Our goal is to build a relationship with them, you know, and once you build that relationship, that's where the transformation happens. But that transformation won't happen because of a food program or, you know, because of some, you know, some free clothing, you know. That's just the tool that we use to build that relationship. So thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I think we're at, like, a great time in the Quad Cities right now, because I think all these organizations have such similar causes, you know, where it's, like, the benefit of kids, growing kids into, you know,
we were just at the
adults.
That Have Life conference,
kind of
symposium
kind
of deal.
And
that was great.
Finding each other and using each other to each other's advantages.
Right.
Yeah. Instead of all working on a similar goal in
different
places.
Paths. Yep.
You know what I mean? I think it's really gonna, it's already showing great strides. I think I think this is, you know, when we look at 5 years from today, is what's gonna help benefit.
I think so. You know, and here's the thing, if you know, organizations like us don't partner together and step up to the plate. You know, people tell me all the time, well, the Quad Cities isn't, you know, South Chicago or East St. Louis or someplace like that. However, mark my word, in 5 or 10 years, it will be, if we don't step up to
That's
the plate.
Right.
Because, you know, 10 years ago, you know, people didn't think it was going to be this bad.
Right.
You know, and so we're clearly on that path. And so at some point we have to intervene or else it's not going to get any better.
Right. Right. So. No, I'm every time we talk to you, Rusty, and Ken as well, I mean, we just come away enthused again, because we really, it validates both what both organizations are doing and what the other organizations that we have relationships with, what they're doing as well. And we have a common goal, and that's to make sure that this is a better place for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just truly excited to be a part of all this. And but we have some lighthearted questions
all
for
right.
you. So we're going to switch gears here. So the first one.
Uh-huh.
Is what is your favorite current TV show? This is kind of where we get to know Rusty a little bit.
My favorite current TV show. Well, me and my wife love to watch Chicago Fire and Chicago PD.
Yeah.
So I'd say those are my two favorite ones. Is it, how many people will listen to this?
are those shows kind of set in the same universe?
And secretly,
enough
I,
that
I
this
like,
could embarrass you.
I like Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I do enjoy.
That is a first.
That is a first.
My It's one of those things, you know, I make my wife watch, like, war movies and things like that.
So this is her way of...
And she's like, well, let's, you know, if you watch that, let's watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And so I am a... I do watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So.
That's
and I'm
great.
Man enough to admit that. Great. In my it's pink shirt. In
your spinoffs of that as well, right? Like where they go to different cities?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you watch that as well?
No.
Oh,
I'm not that much of a fan.
You just watched
I don't
Basic
know.
Family.
I want to know how you know that. Is there something that you
know.
Need to tell us?
I can't say I've seen an episode of it.
Yeah. You know. You know a little bit.
But I can't say I've seen an episode.
All right, let's move on before we spend too much time on the Kardashians.
Before we ruin our image.
Yeah.
So.
Second question. If you could have your dream job, any job besides the one that you have right now, what would it be?
Can I have three?
Yeah.
Sure.
Number one, I would be an announcer. I've always wanted to, like announce.
Baseball?
Like baseball, football.
Sports? Really?
Yeah, sports.
Oh, that's cool.
So something along those lines. That would be number one. Number two, I would like to be like a some sort of like professional hunter. I love to hunt and fish, so I would love to do that as
well,
a
this
job.
Is your time of year then.
Yeah, oh yeah. So
that's just basically like a cattle producer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
something like that.
Professionally. It's just a little easier. Puts it off a truck.
Yeah.
The odds are stacked in their favor.
Yeah, yep, exactly. Hey, I'll take it. And then third would be I love the Civil War, and I always wanted to like work like at Gettysburg or something, and be a tour guide.
Tour guide,
awesome. So like, you know, I did start an organization that is revolutionizing the poverty and problems that we have in the Quad Cities. But I would trade all the Civil War at Gettysburg.
Now, if I could hunt at Gettysburg while being a tour guide and announcing,
because the announcing,
you know,
yeah, kind of goes in with the tour guide. So if you could just hunt,
yeah,
there you go.
It'd be
there's
perfect.
Your dream job.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. Got it.
I want to be a tour guide at Gettysburg.
That's awesome.
That would be pretty awesome.
That would be pretty cool,
would.
Actually.
Yeah.
Someday, Ian and I are going to be like, on a vacation to Gettysburg, and they're like,
gonna...
this is your tour guide, Rusty. We're like, what happened with that?
You'll see me in my announcing voice,
yeah.
And I'll be like, who is that?
Like,
God.
Things just worked out for us.
And I'll have a bow in one hand. And,
carrying it around. Yeah. Our last question is, if you could meet anyone, past, present, alive, dead, fictional, and have a meal with them, who would you meet and what would you eat?
That's a good question. I say I would maybe go for Nelson Mandela, something along those lines.
Yeah.
Only because, you know, those stories are very inspirational to me. People like William Wallace, William Wilberforce,
right.
You know, because I would just love the opportunity to sit down with them and pick their brain and
right.
And see how they, you know, inspired people to make a difference,
right.
You know? And so what we would eat, that is a good question.
Well, if it's Mandela, he probably didn't have a whole lot of
no, I was going to say like tacos or something like that, but I don't
you
know.
You get to
if,
pick, so whatever.
Yeah,
tacos with Nelson Mandela.
That's pretty good.
Because that would be the story in itself. Like,
yeah.
I met Nelson Mandela.
Actually,
and we ate tacos.
Yeah, I would take him to like Happy Joe's and have taco pizza.
Taco pizza,
okay.
There
and
you go.
And that's where we would meet. So,
That's a good answer.
That's a really good answer.
We're going to have taco pizza with Nelson Mandela.
Well, Rusty, thank you for spending the last couple minutes with us. I know there are people out there that will want to listen to this. I've been talking up the 180 Zone, Andy and I both have, about what you guys are doing and the great things that are going on. And I know there will be people that will want to listen to this and find out a little bit more about you and the 180 Zone itself.
Well, thank you guys. And I'm excited for this partnership and to see where it goes and, you know, small beginnings here. And I love what you guys are doing and your enthusiasm and passion for it. So we're ready.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks, Rusty.
Thank you.